Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a good Saturday morning to you, and happy National Whole Hog Barbecue Day. A very special day for those of you who like to barbecue your hogs whole. It's also another edition, episode of the Daddy-Daughter Show. Daughter number one, Cherie's joining me this morning. Cherie, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Yeah, been a while, huh?
Yeah, it's been quite a while, actually.
Yeah, well, we got another one coming up sometime around Christmas. We'll be up in the wilds of Kansas doing a little bit of bird hunting.
Yeah, moving from the south of Louisiana or Texas back up to the Midwest in Kansas.
How's the dog business going?
Dogs are doing good. You saw some photos yesterday. They're getting worked and ready to hunt.
I tell you, you really got some really top-notch dogs that are up for adoption and for fostering, too. Surprised me. I mean, some of them are for pets only, but you've had some. That one lady that I got to hunt with last time I was up at your place, man, just a phenomenal dog.
Yeah, she actually is a registered pointer that a person who was health was not so well surrendered his dog because he knows how much this dog loves to hunt. And so we're taking her through heartworm treatment and we're going to put her on some birds this winter.
When will she be ready to go?
So she goes back in for her second and third injections actually on Monday. She takes a 30-day rest period and then she's going to be ready to go. So mid-November, perfect timing.
And when will she be ready to find a forever home?
Shortly thereafter, she's finished with her treatment. She becomes eligible once she's completed and cleared of heartworms.
Well, a little bit later on, I want to talk to you about the whole point of rescue operation, how that all works and how people can get involved in it. If they're looking to provide a forever home for an excellent pet, at the same time, get a new hunting buddy. Well, we're going to talk about some interesting facts, too, about that special Whole Hog Barbecue Day. And while we're on the subject of hogs, this week's Bayou Wild Tigers in the Wild episode, we feature a tiger gone wild in the marsh hog hunting. He's the same one who went wild in Death Valley last Saturday night against Ole Miss, and that would be linebacker Whit Weeks. And he went along with his brother, West, and they joined us for a wild hog hunt adventure by airboat, and you can see that on this week's episode of Bayou Wild TV. To find a local station near you or watch it on YouTube, simply go to our website at BayouWildTV.com. Also this week, our bad boy, the outdoor story, involves an alleged perpetrator who, unlike most of our bad boys who robbed the public of fish or game resources, this one did not. But we will tell you why he's facing up to 30 years jail time. And if you happen to have a successful fishing or hunting trip this week, we'd love to include it along with your comments and questions, and we'll add it to the reports we get from our professional captains and marina operators. We'll do that. You can do it by texting your message real time here to the studio, 504-260-1870. The other question, a little sideline question, do you target feral hogs or do you take them as lanyap or incidental when you're hunting other game? A text number again is 504-260-1870. If you're headed out, well, I'll tell you, we got a gorgeous stretch of weather in the Gulf Coast, some cool temperatures to start, clear skies, but a pesky wind. In fact, we're going to have a small craft advisory in the Gulf and could cause some problem with some high tides. But today you're looking at east winds offshore 20 to 25 knots, 5 to 7 plus foot seas, pretty much out for any offshore fishing. And the further out you go into the open bays, the higher the winds are going to get. And if you're fishing on the inside, east wind 10 to 15, not quite so bad, a moderate chop. And for tomorrow, those northeast winds offshore are going to drop a little bit to 15 to 20 and 4 to 6 plus foot seas offshore. Your tide range, good, 1.7. Mississippi River stage is at 2.3 and rising. And when we come back after this, filling in for a vacationing, I don't know if he's vacationing, it's kind of a work detail up in Kentucky, getting his deer feeders ready. That's Robbie Campo. Pinch hitting for him is Glenn Sanchez, a familiar voice on this station for many, many years. He'll update us on the St. Bernard fishing scene. Coming up next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And I got a message in from Robbie Campo down at Campo's Marina. He is going to be busy this morning. He's up in Kentucky at the deer camp getting ready thing for the gun season, filling the feeders and all that type of stuff, getting stands ready. So filling in for him as he does so often, and he's very good at doing it. He did it for a number of years. Glenn Sanchez fills in and gives us the report. Glenn, good morning. Man, this wind has been pesky these last few days. I guess the key to catching fish, and it was good up until this wind, and still good if you can find a spot that's got some clean water and get out of it. That's going to be the key, would you say?
Well, let me tell you, I fished yesterday, and the wind's been blowing all week. And I fished in the Biloxi Marsh. There's plenty of fish up there. You just have to weed through them. There's so many fish that are 12 and 3 quarters and 12 and 7 eighths. They're getting closer all the time, but there's plenty of fish, and the water's clean up top. And we caught a nice box of fish yesterday for the first time. I mean, we had big fish in the marsh. And when I say big fish, I had 15-inch trout yesterday. And that's the first time I've done that this year in the marsh. You know, but we got lucky and we happened to find a little spot where they were, you know, but you just have to keep looking.
Yeah. And what are some of the signs that you're going to see other than just the appearance that the water looks a little clear and you can kind of see stuff moving around, a little bit of bait in there?
Well, I mean, actually, you got good tide range right now. And all you need to do is get it on a point and, you know, just fish the points and let that tide come around. And, If they're not on that point, go to the next one. Because, I mean, they're going to be there. Because, I mean, I found like we caught fish every place we went yesterday. But it wasn't until we found some decent ones that we stayed there, and then we ended up running out of bait, you know. Yeah. But they got a lot of fish in the marsh.
With these winds we've got in the strong tide range, there's going to be a lot of water moving. So if you pull up on one of these points and you start catching fish on that point, do you believe that that school is holding on that point and you're just picking them off out of there, or is that fish at the school moving and you're constantly getting new fish passing by that point?
I think they're holding myself because they're waiting for the bait to come around the turn, and they just, you know, they'll just sit there and wait for the bait to move in and ambush it. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, in the wintertime, a lot of times, I mean, it's kind of hard to date because of the wind. But I'll do more drifting than anything else in the wintertime and catch fish drifting. Just move to the fish instead of the fish moving to you.
Yeah, I can remember you and I and Jonathan doing a lot of the Lelutra drift many, many times when nothing else would work. That was always a sure thing. Doing this kind of time of the year, and even when you get a little bit more into the winter.
Yep. But I think it's going to be a good year because, I mean, I know they jumped them up to 13 inches, and we just have to wait for them to grow up just a little bit, but they're close. They're real close. I think by December you'll be able to put a lot of fish in the boat, or end of November, because that's how close they are.
And, Glenn, what was the technique? Were you all using live bait, plastics, or a combination?
We use live bait under a cork. We use live bait on the bottom. And I threw the voodoo shrimp a couple of times and caught a few fish, but it's a little bit too slow for me with that right now.
Is the water temperature dropped enough where you're slowing down the retrieve at all, or is it it's still on? Huh?
No, the water temperature is still, I don't know what it is, but it's still warm enough to where they're not schooled up or anything like that. They scattered. You know, and but you don't have to slow down and retrieve. A lot of time, I mean, just bump it off the bottom just a little bit, and they'll pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Did you come across reds or puppy drum while you were in that marsh?
We caught some sheephead. We caught some small reds. We didn't catch any keeper reds. We had small reds, but we didn't catch any drum. And but we caught some sheephead, and I really like that fish. A lot of people don't know how to clean it, but boy, if you learn how to clean it, that's a delicious fish.
Yes, indeed. Well, Glenn, I guess, and do you think there's any reason to still go out into the bays when these winds finally calm down, or is it from now on all you need to do is run up in the marsh and maybe fish the channel?
If the winds were to calm down, I still believe they got fish on the, you know, like in Bay Oy and on the outskirts. They're still going to have fish out there. You just can't get to them right now. But if you get a calm day, I think you can still go out there and find them.
And how was the bait selection at the marina?
Oh, man, all you want, beautiful bait, you know, it's they work great.
Well, you know bait like for sure. Bait. You know you dealt with bait on a daily, day-in, day-out basis for years. What's some tips for keeping those shrimp alive? Because that's very important. If you're paying for live shrimp, you should use live shrimp.
You know, people ask me that all the time. In the summertime, I do not use my live well in the boat. I don't want the water coming in from outside being hot. I'll use an ice chest, the old-style way with an aerator in it. I'll put some ice in the water to cool it down a little bit, and I'll have that G-juice to keep your shrimp alive, mm-hmm. and you put some of that in there, and my shrimp will stay alive all day because they in the same pH water. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're traveling and they're going from different places in the live well sucking up different types of water. You know, because, I mean, I remember one time we ran across bad water. We looked in the box and all the shrimp were dead. I was like,
ouch.
This is great.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, Glenn, sounds like stuff's good. The secret's going to be find some clean water, get out of that wind, and you can have a successful catch this weekend.
Put the wind to your back and just keep looking and just keep fishing. And you'll catch them. You'll catch them because they're there. They are definitely there.
Always great talking to you, Glenn. Thanks for filling in for Robbie. We appreciate it.
Thank you, y'all. Have a great day, and everybody stay safe. Bye-bye.
All right, my friend Glenn Sanchez used to be the operator of Breton Sound Marina. Now he's a retiree and a full-time fisherman. All right, coming back after this, we're going to talk about National Whole Hog Barbecue Day and get to some of your text messages, particularly some of y'all. If y'all got any good freshwater fishing reports, let me know about those. 504-260-1870. And do you target feral hogs? There's an awful lot of them out of there. Some relaxed seasons and regulations. The opportunity is there. Do you target them or do you take them when you see them? We'd love to hear from you this morning. We'll be right back after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Now, welcome back in. It's a daddy-daughter episode of The Outdoor Show. Daughter number one, Cherie, is here with me in from Texas. And, Cherie, we got a text coming in from Smokey. Now, not to be confused with the Smokey that's sleeping here in the studio, the German short hair. This is another Smokey.
Yeah, Smokey checked in with us first thing this morning saying, good morning, Don. I took advantage of the cool weather this week and finished up on my food plots. All we need now is to be blessed with a little rain. Best of luck to those in the outdoors today and appreciate all that you do. Smokey.
Yeah, you know, this weather sets people free. You know, everybody puts stuff off. I mean, I put off cutting up a tree. You get out there in that 95-degree heat and that high humidity. Well, once you feel that little cool, crisp snap, boy, gets everybody going, including the hounds, too. Well, we got the Steel Man reporting in from Wrigley's. He's always got a crew out there with these names. Big Rev, Texaco, Big Burr, Doc Bull, J-Bull. And he may try to brave the wind to catch some fish this morning. J Bull cooked an excellent teal gravy last night. Happy hunting. They always got something good to eat over there with the Steel Man and his crew.
Yeah, with that crew, sounds like they can't have anything but something great to eat. All right, so the match director is checking in on my way to Donaldsonville to direct the annual Louisiana State High Power Rifle Championship. Good luck to all the competitors.
I would think that maybe they're going to Palo Alto. There's a really nice shooting range in Donaldsonville. I'm assuming that's where they're going to be. All right, here's one of your fans. Good morning, The Worm here. This is my favorite co-host. She's a natural. Come fishing in the morning at the old faithful Miller's Ditch. He's gone fishing this morning at Miller's Ditch. Yeah, that's a spot over there near Lake Catherine area, and got a lot of water running through that. It's a cut that connects two bodies of water there. All right, we got, let's see, this one. What's this next one here?
says, Don, the weather, the wind, the water has been chocolate now for 7 days. Can we please get some clear water? So I guess now people are sending you requests for good weather. Have to see what you can do.
I can't do anything about the weather. But, you know, chocolate, it's Halloween, so that'll go in. What they're talking about, the wind, you know, dirties up the water, muddies it up, and it's hard to catch fish in chocolate water. Sometimes you can catch the bottom feeders, the reds in the drum, but trout, boy, they're just difficult to catch. Not impossible, but you can do it. He goes on to say, I'm not sure who that is, the northeast wind has been killing us in Golden Meadow. We've been catching a lot of fish till recently. The water has been chocolate. All right, and here's one of our regulars.
Yeah, morning, Don. Backstrap Stacker, that's a mouthful. Up in Clark County, Alabama, the brisk morning, bow season is here, and the weather couldn't be more perfect. Hopefully, Big Boy will show up this morning. All this hog talk is making me hungry. We don't target hogs, but we shoot them every time they show up.
Yeah, I was asking, you know, some people, hogs are just, they're everywhere. Especially y'all got a real problem in Texas with them, and they're bad here too, and they multiply so fast. They compete with the natural wildlife, and the departments of wildlife and fisheries in every state has kind of loosened up the regulations, and they encourage people to take them. I can tell you this from eating them, they're very good. You know, it's kind of like free-range chicken versus pen-raised chickens. It's got more flavor to it. Now, when you get into the big boars, now that's a different story. You can kind of process those and make some sausage out of them. But, boy, those sows and those little young piglets, that can be some really great eating there. Does your other half, Blake, does he ever do any of this whole barbecue hog stuff? Have they done that?
No, we have not, but we have a very good friend who lives in the Pasadena area, Matt Yurimovich, and he's done it before. Believe it or not, you can buy these little interesting contraptions from Amazon, and you put them in the ground, and man, he roast a whole hog in there, and it's phenomenal.
It's kind of like the luau thing.
Yes,
huh? In the ground, yeah. Well, there's another way that people do it is they have these big racks and spits, and they turn them over the coals and the hickory and for hours and hours and cook them till it gets real tender. Not bad. All right, and here's our buddy Wingbone, Ed, over in Wilmer, Alabama. He cranked out another Wingbone turkey call. Boy, he's getting to be high tech over there. He's really cranking them out. He's becoming a factory for Wingbone turkey calls, and he does some beautiful work, too. I suggest you check him out on Facebook and take a look at some of the work he does. All right, something going on in Sorrento?
Yeah, the boucherie at the Balloon Festival in Sorrento today. So hopefully those people who are getting hungry listening to us talk on the phone, if they got some time, can make a ride out there.
Yeah, the boucherie. We've been to that several times. And if you're not familiar with the boucherie, it's an old tradition to where it's called, you know, they slaughter a hog. And they show, demonstrate how to use every bit of that hog except the squeal, as they say. And John Foltz does one up at White Oak Plantation, and we've been fortunate enough to go up there a couple of times and document it. And he does a great job with it, but it's an old tradition. And up along the River Road, it's one of the real popular places, a boucherie. And they got one going on and along with a balloon festival in Sorrento, so you might want to take a ride up there. All right, when we come back, we'll get to some more of your texts, some more of your fishing reports, and also we're going to talk more about the tradition of whole hog barbecuing, where this started. We'll tell you a little bit about the history of it. When we take a break right after this, we'll be back. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, welcome back in. If you're headed out today, as we mentioned in the weather forecast, it's going to be kind of breezy out there. There's a small craft advisory up for the Gulf, and if you look at the current wind speeds right now, the further out you go into the open waters and bays in the Gulf, the higher the winds. I'll give you an example. Right now, Slidell is only reporting a northeast wind at 5, and at Morgan City at 7, it's a little bit more of a east-northeast, and almost an east in Baton Rouge at 7. Pretty light winds. Biloxi's at 10, but Lakefront in Lake Pontchartrain in New Orleans is 18, and if you go down to Southwest Pass by Venice, 24 knots. So the further out you go, and I'm sure those winds are going to increase as it gets on today. So be appraised of that, and be aware that there's going to be some pretty stiff winds. And a small craft advisory is in effect if you're fishing in the Gulf. All right, we're going to take a quick 10-second station identification pause. When I come back, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the history of whole hog barbecuing, where it started, what it's evolved to, and also how you can take part in it and maybe help some other folks do that, too, with an organization called Hunters for the Hungry. We'll be back to do that. But first, we pause a quick 10 seconds to let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, Cherie, you ready for a little whole hog barbecue 101, a little course here?
I'm ready to hear the history.
All right, it's a good day to do it because it's National Barbecue Whole Hog Day. The whole hog, you'd barbecue it all in one piece. And the tradition started in eastern North Carolina and goes back over 350 years to the first settlers. And although the barbecue lovers may disagree on the best type of sauce for their pork, everyone agrees that vinegar-based chopped whole hog barbecue is where it began. You got a favorite barbecue sauce type?
Yes, absolutely. I'm a sweet over vinegar. And of course, in Texas, sauce is not, it's more about the rub. But I'm definitely more of like a sweet Carolina sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Carolinas seem to do that vinegar thing and kind of a lighter sauce where the tomato-based and the ketchup-y type is a little bit more down here along the deep Gulf South. Anyway, smoking a whole hog, it takes between 10 and 12 hours. You better not be hungry when you start. You will be when you finish. And it requires attention. If you want to keep it smoky and cooking, you got to do it at a consistently low temperature. And as long as you have a pit, hardwood charcoal with oak or hickory, and plenty of time, and something brown to drink, whatever that means, you can create this delicious southern delight. And whether you have a homemade brick pit or a custom-made steel firebox, I think that's what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The trick is to keep the cooking temperature steady and low. But whatever way you decide to smoke it, extra help's always appreciated to do the heavy lifting, including flipping the pig a few hours into the cooking process. So anyway, if you're going bow hunting, good weather for bow hunting and hunting small game, rabbit and squirrels open right now. Might want to get your hog while you're out there, or maybe if you're a hog hunter, are you one, or do you take them incidental to other game? Let us know. 504-260-1870 is our text. The backstrap sacker says he doesn't target them, but he won't pass one up either. And speaking of these hogs, you know, I talk to a lot of hunters who their freezer's full. They've killed a couple hogs, and I mean that goes a long way. So they, when one comes out, they just don't want to fool with it. Well, there's a purpose that you can put it to, and that's donate it to Hunters for the Hungry, and they will make sure that the food banks, the soup kitchens, the needy get some very badly needed protein. And they do it with deer and all other game, but hogs are so plentiful, and it really serves a dual purpose. One, it provides needy protein for the hungry, but it also eliminates the competition for natural foods for deer and turkey and other species. And Hunters for the Hungry has processes they worked with all across the state of Louisiana, and other states do a similar program. And I've got a list of them. I don't know, how many would you say are there? 100 or more?
More than 100.
Maybe more than 100. And they're in every parish in Louisiana. So if you don't feel like you want to process the hog and then donate it, the processors will do it. And Hunters for the Hungry pays the processors. Now, not all these processors will take it on the hoof, so to speak. Some of them want you to skin it and gut it and even quarter it. But you can check with the individual processor before you bring it. But have a plan so that, you know, you're not surprised when you see the hog and you don't know what to do with it. You got a plan ready. What you're going to do with it, keep it on ice, and get it to the processor. And if you're not familiar with who you can bring it to, text me this morning. We got the entire list, and I'll put you in touch with someone in your parish in Louisiana who is working with Hunters for the Hungry, and they will process it and make sure that it gets put to good use. And by the way, they've also got a program going right now. You may have heard some of the public service announcements. They're looking to fill $100,000 in 100 days with deer bounty donations. And if you're interested in making a cash donation, that always goes a long way because the deer also need to be processed and handled, and that goes a long way in getting that done. Go to H4HLA. That's h4hla.org. And they've got a website there. They've got the Clean Out Your Freezer Days, which we had a very successful one. I manned a station over at Rouse's, one of the Rouse's stores, and we got a lot of donations brought in, and it went all over statewide. It's a wonderful organization. They do some great work, and Julie Grunwald is the director, and we're planning on doing a hog hunt with her and getting our old buddy Will Clark from the San Francisco Giants, ex-ball player, to go out and bag a hog and show you how it gets processed and where how it gets put and donated to the needy. All right, we're going to be back with some fishing reports right after this. We're going to talk to Captain Kirk, head out west to Hackberry and find out what's happening over in the Hackberry area, Calcasieu, Big Lake. That's next, right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Sure, you remember that theme song? You know what that's from, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And who was the star?
Well, Captain Kirk, William Shatner.
We have our own Captain Kirk. He's at Hackberry Rod and Gun. His name is Captain Kirk Stansel. Kirk, thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Man, look, I saw before the closure a customer of yours, I think their name was Brown, that brought in some doormat flounders they picked up over there.
They did catch some nice ones. And, of course, it closed on the 15th. The 14th was the last day we could keep them. And they were just starting to run a little bit, not real well. But, if you happen on that right spot, you could catch a few.
Yep. Well, you got to let them go now, which,
That's right.
Hopefully it'll pay off. How's the other fishing been? That wind been bothering you guys over there?
Oh, yeah, it is. Last week we had some calm days and some trout bit. I mean, we had some good trout catches, and then of course the winds that front came through, and it's been blowing ever since. That went from northwest to northeast to east, and it's just been blowing ever since. So the trout bite hadn't been as good. We're back on redfish because the tides have come back up, and that's the name of the game right now. Just getting the marsh to catch redfish.
Kirk, for people not familiar with Big Lake but want to give it a try, what would you say is the wind speed of demarcation when it becomes unfishable? What wind direction and speed would you say puts it off limits?
Well,
and what is it fishable?
The wind direction, it just depends on it depends on your tides with wind direction, but I'd say anything over 15 knots, it gets tough. Now, this time of year, you can go up the river, on up around Prian Lake, Lake Charles. The water stays clear, and you can catch fish up there. I mean, I had one captain had, 26, 27 trout the day the front hit. It was blowing 30. And he got up there, got in out of the wind, found some clean water, and caught some trout. But, it stays pretty up there this time of year as long as we don't have a bunch of rain. And we have it. You know how dry it is now. But, up the river, you can fish it anytime, any wind direction. Now, when you get down on Big Lake, of course, it's shallow, it's muddy, it's a muddy bottom, and it doesn't take much wind to muddy it up. I mean, when it gets up over 10 knots, you got to go to the leeward side mm-hmm. most of the time.
Last few days, I've been seeing on your dock shots redfish coming in, some pretty good size ones,
right.
Too. Where are those being caught and how are they being caught?
They're all in the marsh. I've been throwing, if you want to throw artificial, gulp shrimp, and my favorite is the pearl with chartreuse tail under a popping cork, and then live shrimp under a popping cork. That's been the name of the game to catch those redfish.
I love that gulp, especially for flounders. It gives you the combination of both an artificial and a natural bait because it's got that heavy scent in it. How many fish would you say is the average that you get on a particular gulp before it's done? Because people say, that stuff's too expensive.
it depends. Redfish, sometimes I can get 4, 5, 6 fish out of it. Sometimes just one. It just depends on how he bites the bait and how it's hung up in his mouth. But you can always flip that baby around and use the other side. But like with trout, I don't catch a lot of trout on them, but you get quite a few. In flounder, you can catch, sometimes, 8 or 10, maybe even a dozen on one bait. It all depends.
Yeah, that trout bite can get hot and heavy, and they pretty much get into a frenzy, and they'll just strike the motion that they see. But right. on the scent feeders, you know, like the reds and the drum and the flounders to some extent, too, it gives them just that little bit of extra where if it doesn't stimulate them by sight, that taste and smell kind of gets them going.
Oh, no, there's no doubt. That smell does it. There's no doubt about it. It's a great bait, I mean, especially for redfish and flounder. It really is. And drum. It's a great bait for those guys.
Well, Kirk, we got a little bit of a cool snap came in. Did you notice any new waterfowl arrivals that came in ahead of it?
Yes, there were some, actually more blue-winged teal than anything. We saw a few great ucks and some pintail, and that's pretty – I saw a couple widgets, but they haven't shown up yet, and I don't want them to. They're getting on my food too early if they show up now.
Yeah, that's a fact. They'll eat it out of house and home, and then there'll be nothing left for them to eat when the season opens up. We're not that far away from it either. If somebody wants to get in touch with you and get on the books for the duck hunts and – enjoy some of this great fall fishing. I mean, God, if it wasn't for the winds that we've had, it would just be absolute picture-perfect weather.
Oh, yeah. Sunday was supposed to lay down for a whole week. It's supposed to be, you know, less than 10 knots. I thought the trout bite's going to be on next week for sure. We're going to catch them.
Cool and dry. I guess that's what must be like living in California, except for other negative aspects, huh?
yeah, no kidding. But I guess so. It's nice this time of year. I mean, it's golly, you go out in some light pants or, you know, go with shorts with something over it, and, you know, by 10, 11 o'clock, you're shedding everything, and it's nice. You know, these temperatures are really comfortable to fish in.
Well, if somebody's got the fever, tell them how to get a hold of you.
Well, that's easy. We have a toll-free number for guys out of the area. It's 888-762-3391. And, of course, you know, go to our website, Hackberry Rod and Gun. You spell out and.com.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Kirk. Always appreciate your reports. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you. You have a great show, Don. Keep it up.
All right. Thank you, my friend. All right. We come back after this. Daryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. Find out what's happening down on the island of Grand Island. I got a feeling he might be doing a little bit of complaining about the wind. It's probably going to be being that it's a little island that juts out in the Gulf of Mexico, it's probably going to have some difficulty. But if there's any way to catch fish, Darryl will have the answer for you. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And, Sheree, we have your favorite fisherman from Grand Isle, Captain Darryl Carpenter, joining us.
Darryl and I go way back, as well as you guys. Good morning, Darryl.
Good morning, y'all. Y'all sound like y'all having a blast.
Oh, we are. We always do. You got stuff tied down there? How's the wind this morning? I was a little bit concerned about it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, Don. I mean, it, you know, we fished right up until Tuesday, right up until the last minute, and then that front came through, and it's kind of messed everything up. It's rough, 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 chocolate belt, you name it. It's, yeah, I've gotten to the age and the point that I'm not fighting it. I'm not going to try to cross that bay. If you're going to fish out of Grand Isle area today, your best thing to do is launch out of Leeville. You trailer up there. You're a little bit closer to protected water and to some canals, and just beat that closed water up there. And, you know, the protected stuff and work the points and all. I mean, it's just like it's wintertime fishing at this point because you just got to hide from the wind. But, man, I'm going to tell you, if you got those pictures I texted you through Tuesday, they were, good Lord, this was some of the best fishing I've ever seen on the island this past week with really big, big, nice trout, and they're still out on the beach area. So, I mean, we were fishing right on the coast. We got out of the marsh. We got a break in the wind, and you had to play with them a little bit. You had to figure out how they wanted to present it, but Lord have mercy, we would catch us up. Let's see, I came back one day, we had four people. I came back with 60 trout. I didn't actually weigh them, Don, but I bet you I was bumping 100 pounds of trout in the boat.
Oh, well, the good news is they'll be back there as soon as this wind cuts down, and not supposed to go any further. It's going to die down a little bit tomorrow and then improve all during next week, and it's going to be a dry and cool week. So next week should be an excellent week for fishing if you can just get that water to clear up a little bit.
Yeah, typically the Grand Isle area where we can keep trout down on the beach depending on the weather. Or when I say down on the beach, I mean in the lower bays and on the oyster reefs and stuff. Typically we keep trout here until about Thanksgiving. And then it gets cold enough that you know, the lower bays just dry up, and you've got to go up into the marsh and hunt them there. But, you know, unless it gets really, really cold, unless we have a really hard string of cold fronts, through about Thanksgiving, you should still be able to find trout down close to the coast.
Dale, have you or anyone you talk to, any of your other boats, have a chance to make a run to the newest fishing reef, the Raisin Canes, over by El Cid, and give that a shot?
Yeah, we caught fish on it this past week, not on the reef itself. I mean, they did this reef down a little bit differently. It's not a solid reef. They had that bar, I believe you were out there, that one barge full of those reefs, those 3D printed reefs. And what they did was they set out five pods in a big circle around the reef. Mm-hmm. So there's five clusters of these things scattered around. And I caught fish on one of them the other day, but the majority of our fish came off of the debris from the old rig.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, fishing those artificial reefs is very similar to what you've done a lot of in the past, and that's fish the rigs offshore. And as you know, you can get on one little corner of a rig, and that's where all the fish are going to be ganged up, and it's the same thing on a reef. It just depends on currents and water yeah. movement and where the bait's hanging out.
And look, that reef in particular, that reef is going to hold fish, because I like the way that they did this, because the fish were already there. The fish were there from the old Hotel Cid, mm-hmm. and the fish are going to remain there, and it's going to continue to hold fish as long as you have rough bottom and all there. And there's a lot of trash on the bottom left from the platform. And what they did by placing that reef there is they have ensured and guaranteed that you're going to have rough bottom there. The only problem we had there this week, we had to end up leaving it. You literally could not get a fish to the boat. I'm talking 18-inch trout, and on the way to the boat, you'd have dolphins fighting over it. And I mean, man, when they come shooting up, you know, like a guided missile, there's just nothing you can do. And once they get a taste of the first one, they're coming back for the second and third, so you just got to leave.
Yeah. Well, that's the way fishing goes. Darryl, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and get in on some of this good fall weather fishing, tell them how to get you. They can always find you on my website if they're hanging around there at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. But you got your own site and you got a phone and other ways to contact you.
Yeah, Don. Just they can also find it at RealScreamers.com, or just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288. It's getting to the time of the year that we're slowing down, and there's plenty of time to talk fishing.
All righty. Sounds good, Darryl. Thanks for your report, as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Y'all enjoy yourselves. Have a good morning.
All righty. There he goes, Darryl Carpenter. All right, we come back after the top of the hour break. We're going to resume our fishing reports. We also got a lot of text to catch up on, Cherie. Some funny ones, some serious ones,
yes.
Some of them don't make any sense at all, but we'll get to those. And also, we got Captain Mike Gallo going to give us a fishing report on Lakes Pontchartrain, Lake Catherine, the Wall, Chalmette area. Then we're also going to check in with Ryan Lambert down near the tip of the boot, fishing down in Burris. Paddler's Report, Brendan Bayard will recap what went on in Fall and Tide. And as always, we got a bad boy of the outdoors story for you. This one, he really didn't endanger or steal anything from the public, but boy, you talk about a danger. We'll tell you what he did to possibly get 30-year sentence on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radio Network. Welcome back into a daddy-daughter episode. Daughter number one, Cherie, with me. I wish I had her more often, but I can't afford her. not at her pay, no, but when we do get it, we're glad to have it. Sure, we got a lot of text messages coming in. Got the Rising Outlaw. He's headed to his first cowboy action match after 12 years defeating cancer. Well, congratulations. Also, he completed 15 years listening to the show every Saturday morning. He sure misses Captain Toad, Tofield Bourgeois. We all do. And he says, it's fabulous to hear your voice again. Tell Glenn Sanchez, hello for me. We also had a question about a processor in St. Charles Parish. We actually couldn't find one, but we sent a list out. If you are looking for a hog processor to donate a hog for Hunters for the Hungry, let us know, and we'll see if we can help you find a processor in your area. LSU playing Arkansas tonight. It's going to be Razorback on the tailgate table today. Go Tigers. That's from Dr. Dan. We got Pickle from Ponchatoula checking in. What's he want?
Wants to know about how's the fishing over there.
In Happy Jack. We'll get Ryan Lambert. That's his territory. We'll get him to talk about
that.
Yeah,
didn't you do a history lesson on Happy Jack?
I did on Happy Jack. And, found the reason why it was named Happy Jack. Somebody wanted to know. All right, here's one that'll bring memories back to you. I used to roast a pig for Halloween at friends, the Merchant Brothers in Alvin, Texas. Still got my steel spit to roast, and extra meat in the woods is hard to pass a good pork chop. I'm feeding one now, getting him close for an arrow. That's from Big Mike in Bayou Liberty. Alvin, Texas, you lived there for a while.
Yeah, I lived there quite a while. Enjoyed living in Alvin.
All right, we got another one just pulling up to the hunting camp in Montpelier, trying to get a deer with the crossbow butt. Lots of hogs there, and they'll take one if they come by. That's from our North Shore rocker. And this one says, it's a beautiful thing. You and your daughter are so close. I can't take my oldest daughter hunting at the moment because she's busy with my new granddaughter. Well, congratulations on that. So hunting by herself for now, and yes, they have a hog problem in Bucks County, and take them every chance they get. Love the show as always. Have a great weekend. That's from my friend, the Irish Coonass. And the Worm's back with us. What's he talking about now?
I'm watching Robbie Campo on TV trying to catch trout at Comfort Island.
No, he's not. He's in Kentucky working on a deer. Well, I do TV. See, that's the advantage this radio has. It's real time. It's right now. Robbie's working on deer stand. He's not catching trout, but it's good to watch when he is. All right. Dixie Ranch has a work weekend, getting ready for the youth weekend for the kids to have some fun.
So we got the limb hanger here in Possum Bend, Alabama, Wilcox County, about to get to the ground blind and try to use that stick pusher and harvest a target buck this morning. I love that language.
You need a translator.
Yeah. We're just off Alabama River, so we try to combat the hogs any way we can, net trap, spot, or stalk with dogs after the deer season.
All right, go get them. And here's one from Big Mike. He says, one of Cherie's goats would be good on a spit. Mucho cabrito goats at the Woodlands taste better. He's never seen your goat, so he would not say that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. African pygmies are more like hors d'oeuvre cabrito.
And here's a welcome back, Cherie. He tuned in just in time to hear about the whole hog barbecue. Got him thinking of delicious pork dishes of the Boucherets. Now he's hungry. Hope the Tigers enjoying a whole hog barbecue tonight against the Arkansas Razorback. That's from our Mobile, Alabama buddy, David Hubble. And Lafitte LT said the ladies had a great time at the Grand Isle Women's Rodeo last weekend. All the boats caught plenty of fish, but no one placed. In Clarksville, Tennessee, now with the granddaughter doing gymnastics. He booked a hunt with his nephew in next month. And Hackberry Rod & Gun, going to celebrate him being cancer-free. Another congratulations. And we're hearing from my buddy Jason the barber. He's probably getting ready over there to cut some hair this morning. And here's one. Who is the most famous politician you went fishing with? I have to think on that for a minute, but I'll get back to you on that one. But right now, we got to take a quick break. We come back. Mike Gallo joins us, our Born on the Bayou guy. He's going to give us a report on his area and also tell you about a special trip I'll be joining him on next week. We'll talk about it after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And that is our walk-up music for Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. His report each week is brought to you by CETO. You know them, the yellow boats that come to the rescue when you need them, whenever you need them. Free towing. They also will deliver you fuel. If you run a little short, you need a jump start for an electrical problem. If none of that gets you back up and running, they'll tow you dock to dock. And as many times as you need it, as often as you need it, hopefully never. And if you don't ever need it, you've got peace of mind. It's only $249 for a whole year. Then you get to renew it after that. And Captain Mike believes in it. I believe in it because I've heard too many people tell great stories about how CETO came to their aid in a time of need. And Captain Mike joins us now. And, Mike, I know you make an annual hunting trip with your buddy Mark over in Mississippi, and you got a pretty high success rate on deer. Do y'all ever encounter any hogs? Do y'all take hogs on his lease?
Don, I've never seen a hog out there, and they want to keep it that way. So there's a rule. If a hog shows up, shoot it.
I got you. A lot of places have that rule, and if you can keep them off, that's the best thing. But if not, well, you know, just added meat to the freezer. Well, Mike, how's the wind been playing with you guys? Wrecking havoc with you, or finding some places to get out of it and catch some fish?
Well, it has been very windy, and obviously that creates a challenge. I think Glenn had the best advice: put your back to the wind. In other words, don't try to fight the wind. Cast with the wind. There's places where you can put your back to the wind, anchor, power pole down, however you choose to keep your boat still, and just cast with the wind. Make it easy on yourself. I have been having a fair amount of success fishing the deep holes where two bayous come together, or a turn in a bayou where there's a washout. And I might have to fish six or eight of them throughout the day, but we seem to be averaging 30 to 40 fish a day, depending on do I have two people or three people fishing with me. Live bait's been working very well. Wrigley's Marina has a great supply of live bait. I've also been catching them on a new matrix shad called Limelight. Really good-looking lure, got some sparkles in it. Kind of a light green tint, and it's been paying dividends for me every day this week.
And what size is it you're throwing?
It's the little 3-inch matrix, and I'm fishing it, of course, on a drop shot along the bottom. It's my standard routine. I'll get my customers started with live shrimp, get them set up, make sure they, you know, get the hang of things, and I might, if I get a minute, stand beside a couple of them and see if that plastic will work right next to them.
Mm-hmm. I got a question from the big man Bassin. Wanted to know about. He wanted me to ask you about those green trout. You know, you fish some areas where it goes both ways. You can catch fresh and saltwater fish. Have you encountered any green trout along with the speckled trout?
You know, I had that same question asked me a week or so ago, because this time of year we're fishing more in the marsh. And that's obviously where the bass hang out. And I answered that question this way. We had a low river this year, which generally means our salinity is a little higher than normal. It kills off a lot of the grass, makes our fishing a little bit easier. We don't get tangled up. And I've caught some, but not very many. So far this fall, less than 10 bass.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some there. I would assume they moved where there's fresher water, wherever that might be, in the Pearl,
yep,
or further north.
Further north, upriver for sure. Mike, we got a special fishing trip coming up to honor a longtime listener of this program and a longtime fishing buddy of yours, Dutch Prager. Tell us about it.
Well, when Dutch passed away, I didn't want to think that his legacy ended with his passing. And I just came up with the idea of sharing one of Dutch and I's favorite fishing spots. So how could we do that? Kind of put my thinking cap on and came up with, if I share one of my spots, can we put it on a map? And obviously the guy who makes the best maps in the area is our good friend Glenn Shore, who makes standard mapping maps as well as the LA One card. So I reached out to you to reach out to him, and through that, we're going to mark one of Dutch's favorite spots on the standard mapping maps as well as the LA One card, and Dutch's legacy will live on.
I don't think there's a better way to honor him than when people go out there, he'll come to mind whenever they see it come up on their map. You know, we'll be fishing Dutch's Corner, as it's going to be called in the Biloxi Marsh. So we're looking forward to it. Hope he's smiling down on us and we get to catch a few fish when we go out there to show the spot and mark the spot. Dutch would have been 100 years old coming up this January.
Yes, he would have been 100 years old, and I'm sure he would have wished to fish in the Biloxi Marsh one more time, as we all want to wish to fish one more time.
Yep, one more cast, that's all we ask. Mike, thanks for the report. As always, looking forward to the trip next week. Weather looks really good. If you would, give out your contact information, because I know a lot of people want to check out the Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge and then get up early the next morning and get out and do some fishing with you.
Yeah, I got a lodge full of people right now that we're about to head out. Got several boats heading out. I do have one more thing I need to tell you, Don. I was asked to share this information to your listeners. Shanna over at Wrigley's Marina has about 150 gift bags for the children that come to the marina. These are Halloween gift bags, so they got candy in them for the kids. It's grown over the years. I think she said her target was 150 to 200 bags. So all the kids that come to the Wrigley's Marina will get a treat.
That's awfully
sweet. As far as reaching me, you can find me at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. My website is AAofLA.com. Angling Adventures of Louisiana on social media. And the reliable telephone, 985-781-7811.
That's awful sweet of Shana to give those bags out to the kids. Let me ask you this. If she's got Reese's, is there an age limit? Maybe you and I could stop there before our trip, pick up a couple of those bags?
I'm hoping to snag one in just a minute. I'm in the parking lot right now about to go get my bait, and I was thinking the exact same thing.
All right. We'll see you, Mike. Thanks for the report. We appreciate it.
All right, Don. Y'all have a good day.
All righty. When we come back after this, it's time for our paddlers/peddlers report. Brendan Bayard will update us on last weekend's Fallen Tide. What a phenomenal turnout and catches that were made during that tournament. Maybe their best ever. We'll talk to him right after this pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And it's time for our paddlers report, brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie, where today they're having the last day of their sale tomorrow. They're going to be open to, well, I guess that would be today, actually. 40% off in the store with markdown kayaks, rods, reels, and clothing. It's your last chance to get your name into a drawing for the LSU Edition U-Keg. It's a portable, refillable mini keg, and you can take your draft beer to your tailgate. So check it out. It's No Wake Outfitters. Stop by and see Justin and the gang over there. What a great store. Really catered to the paddlers. 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. That's not far from where Causeway Boulevard intersects with Airline. Sheree, did y'all have a kayak you kept over at your beach house on Surfside, or was that a neighbor?
No, we actually do have one and still have it.
You still have it?
Still have it, yeah.
I remember Blake dragging that thing out to the beach and going after those redfish over there.
Well, we got a nice reservoir up there by our place in Kansas, so maybe we'll get to use it again.
There you go. Well, we got a report coming up right now. Let's bring in Brendan Bayard. And, Brendan, I tell you what a fantastic turnout in tournament they had. You know, Fallen Tide has not always had the best of weather, but, man, it was phenomenal. Tell us what went on last week. You were down there.
Yeah, Don, we had a wonderful stretch of, you know, must have been 5 days up to it with, you know, winds of, you know, less than 10 miles an hour, great conditions, lots of clean water down there, shrimp popping everywhere. You'd paddle in the marsh and the shrimp would practically fill in your boat where your feet were, just jumping all around. And you were like, man, I should have brought a cast net instead of a rod. they're very thick out there right now, and the fish are loving it. They're biting everywhere I went. We had several days where we would just catch, you know, limits of trout between, you know, 30 minutes and an hour in the morning. You know, lots of redfish, weren't very spooky everywhere we went. Primarily fish between Port Sulphur and Yellow Cotton Bay, just kind of bouncing around to the different areas. Lots of big flounder being caught. You know, congratulations to Francis Tran. Came in from Mississippi and won the event, qualified for the Hobie Saltwater Series Championship, which is coming up in December. And there was a great turnout. We had, you know, probably, you know, 20 people more than last year. I finished seventh, but, you know, I was very close to the weight Francis had, like I think 0.4 pounds away, but there were seven people in between us. That's just how good the fishing was. I had a, you know, almost 20 inch trout, you know, a 25 and a half inch red, and like a 17 inch flounder, and that was good for seventh. So I mean,
yeah, when there were some talking big fish about caught. You're talking about 6 ounces separating seven places. That is about as tight as it can get. And what a great time to have it, too. You just got that flounder in before it closed.
Yeah, yeah. It's we try to, you know, with the new flounder regulations, we try to have fallen tide right at the end there so we can use that flounder. I guess if we pushed it past that, we could do a CPR-style tournament where we're using the rulers and taking pictures. But guys, you know, love to eat those flounder, make a little sandwich or something when you get home. I did. I made some almondine. Enjoyed that this week. It was great. But if you can get out there and go fishing, it's really going on down there in Plaquemines Parish. You got a north or, you know, east, northeast wind. You got that nice levee to protect you. You can get in close to that and catch a lot of fish. Really, it's set up perfectly for this type of year's, this time of year's seasonal winds. So great time to get down there and catch some fish.
And congratulations again to Francis Tran. His name has come up more than a couple of times on this show. He's a pretty good fisherman.
Oh, yeah. He's really big in the bass fishing world that Hobie does. He's gone out there and had great success. I think he's probably even fishing in their Invitational, which is really, really hard to get into.
Well, hopefully he can make it to the Worlds and represent us real good down here in Louisiana. Brendan, thanks for the report. We always appreciate it. Kind of stay out of the wind, and thanks for an excellent report. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Don. Take care.
All right, Brendan Bayard. Next week you'll hear from Captain Eric Mohabarak. But right after this, we're going to get to some of your text messages at 504-260-1870 and tell you about our bad boy of the outdoors for the week. Could be looking at 30 years in jail. What did he do? We'll tell you right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, Sherry, getting back to our text board where we left off, I had that question earlier about who was the most famous politician I went fishing with. And, you know, there may be somebody more famous, but immediately comes to mind the parish of Jefferson sheriff, Harry Lee. Both went hunting and fishing with him, and I got to tell you, he was the most fun politician for sure. Got some stories about fishing with Harry Lee. He even left me with a very famous sheep's head recipe. I call it Sheriff Sheep Head, and it's enlisted on my list of recipes on my website. And Harry was a great personality. He was also a very good sheriff. And I don't make a habit of fishing with a lot of politicians, but there may be others, but he was the most memorable one for sure. And somebody found put the blame on cooking your goats on Dean, huh?
Looks like
Dean's in trouble now.
Big Mike called out Dean and said that was his idea to cook my little cute goats.
Well, we'll have a talk about that, I'm sure. All right, here's one that says, you're coming in loud and clear at a new home in Covington. Can't wait to get back out on the water as soon as our move-in is complete. That's from the big man, Bassin. Well, congratulations on the new move-in. What's this one here, Sheree, from Ohio? What's that about?
Yeah, good morning from Ohio. A beautiful moon and a beautiful sun coming up. Stay sweet. Y'all missing home. Glad you're on the radio. So it sounds like you got a hometown boy up in Ohio now.
I think that's a hometown girl, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But the beautiful moon, she's right. That's the Hunter's Moon that was up this month. And, boy, you got a new telescope. Bet you can't wait to go check it out, huh?
Yep. Birthday present from Blake. New telescope. And I can't wait to get back and use it.
All right. Here's one. Joe's Barbecue in Alvin. I know you ate there, girl.
Yes, indeed. If you lived in Alvin, you ate at Joe's.
Joe's Barbecue. Texas got some great barbecue. You got to give it to them.
Yes, we do.
All right. Here's one. Says, I work in the weekend shift at the refinery, but once I get off, I plan to check out the Andouille Festival in the Place. That's Corey listening to us. Go get you some of that andouille. All right, we're going to take a quick 10-second pause. When we come back, we'll tell you about this week's Bad Boy of the Outdoors right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents were notified on the night of August 30th about a single vessel boating incident in Horseshoe Lake in Concordia Parish, and learned that Bradley Edwards was operating a 16-foot boat with a 90-horsepower engine, which I've never seen a 16-foot with that kind of horsepower. Well, anyway, Edwards was allegedly running at a high rate of speed in the lake at night with a passenger when he struck a pier, ejecting himself into the water and the passenger onto the pier. Edwards and the passenger were taken to the Trinity Medical Center, where they were both treated for serious injuries. During their investigation, the agents discovered that Edwards was impaired at the time of the incident, you think, and he had his driving license suspended and arrested, and subsequently was booked into the Concordia Parish Jail and charged with fourth DWI offense of driving or operating a vessel or vehicle while intoxicated. First-degree vehicular negligent injury, careless operation of a watercraft, operating a watercraft during a license suspension, and overpowering of a motorboat. All of which, if convicted on his day in court, he'll be facing maximum criminal fines of $6,350 plus 10 to 30 years in jail. Is 26-year-old Bradley Edwards of Monterey, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. You know, how do you get a fourth DWI? It should be impossible unless you get it in prison, because that's where you should be after the third one. You know, whatever happened to the three strikes, you're out, maybe after the second time around. But committing a fourth offense DWI, I got to put the blame partly on the district attorney or the judge or both. You know, some of the bad boys steal resources from the public. This one actually endangers innocent lives and needs to be stopped. Maybe this will finally get him some time spent in jail.
Yeah, if nothing else, that's a public service announcement. Do not ride with Mr. Edwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if you'll be driving much anymore. All right, if you got a text message, 504-260-1870, we'll share it with the rest of our audience. We got to get fishing reports, comments, questions. We love to hear it all, and we'll be right back after this and talk to Captain Ryan Lambert. Get a fishing report from down the tip of the boot. He's down at the Cajun Fishing Adventures Lodge. Sometimes he's over at Nolajase in Mexico. We'll find out where he is this Saturday morning right after this pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we call him the Plastic Man because that's what he loves to throw. He's like a guy riding in a float on Mardi Gras, throwing plastic out to the fish off to the side and hooking them, though, and bringing them in. But today he's not doing that. He's got the title of Professor Lambert. He's taking some LSU students on one of his very popular eco tours. What y'all going to see today, Captain Ryan?
Well, when we go, we put out gill nets and minnow traps, and we try to get some freshwater fish, saltwater fish on the line. And just the ecosystem, you know, we teach them, but, you know, it's sometimes it's a legal course, sometimes it's just, you know, environmental course, you know, depending on which students we have. These are engineers, I think, today, environmental engineering. So, yeah, my 12th grade education is stretched to the max, I promise you.
They'll be testing it. Well, you got that good practical experience that, you know, they call that on-the-job training type stuff.
Yeah.
OJT.
It's something that's not common anymore. It's common sense, huh?
OMT, on-the-marsh training. Listen, we had a caller asked a question about a bird identification. And the way it came across to me from my producer, Cullen, was that he wanted to know what type of bird is a bécroche. Now, you know, the bécroche is the woodcock, but they also...
Right, a bécroche is an ibis.
Right.
Crooked beak, bécroche.
Bécroche,
so,
yeah. That.
And then a grosbec is a yellow-crested night heron.
Right.
It's just the terminology is from French. And they used to have seasons on both of them. And they're very good to eat if you want to spend time in a federal penitentiary.
Is that firsthand knowledge that you know they're good to eat, or is that just hearsay?
Oh, no, I've eaten them. I've eaten them for sure.
Yeah.
You know, they had an old man lived in the woods when I was a kid, and we would go shoot them out the nest in June, and we'd take about six of them back to his little camp there, and he'd cook them up. Man, it was good. I still can remember that.
Oh, yeah. Now, you're talking about the night heron there, the grosbec.
Yeah, yellow-eared grosbec.
Yeah.
I know people that's eaten ibis. I've never eaten ibis, but I've eaten grosbecs.
Yeah, there was a season on ibis at one. It was a season on a lot of things, if you look it up. Chipmunks and starling. I mean, they had a season for almost everything.
And there's plenty of them. I mean, I don't know why they would have shut it down, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, with the time.
There was a very famous case too of
actually,
what you remember that? I don't want to mention his name because it might embarrass somebody.
No, you don't.
But he was caught in the swamp. He was given an assignment by back in those days when the State Department was fairly corrupt. They sent him out on a mission to gather up a bunch of grosbec to prepare for some dignitaries coming in, and the feds got word of it, and they went out, and they were wrestling in the mud and the bud and the beer, and all. It was pretty fun.
He had a bunch of them, too, didn't he?
Ooh, he was loaded down. He was very successful growback hunter. Those days are gone. Well, tell me, how's the fishing been down there? And is alligator season
really
finally over?
Yeah, for fighting the wind like we've been fighting, we're still catching plenty of fish. We're catching some trout, reds, bull reds. You know, some flounders we're having to throw back, and, you know, sheepheads, black drums, whatever. You know, they just out there fishing and catching fish and making people happy right now. But yesterday, I think Lil Ross got on a bunch of jackavals and bull reds, and people wanted big fish. So you got to be careful what you ask for. You get a hold of 30 jackavals, you don't want no more big fish after that.
Absolutely, yeah. Well,
so
how's the river doing?
Boats going out, and they all going. Most of them going to the east, even with this wind, you know, because at least we're getting the canals and in the river.
Yeah.
But yesterday, I went from Burris all the way to Dixon Bay, and on the outside, it got rough though.
Oh, it had to be. Yeah.
But
so
it's what we do.
Yeah. So how's the river looking? I think at 2.6, 2.7, and it looks like it's got a little rise coming. That's still rolling.
It jumped to 5.2 and it crested at 5.2 and then it's jumping, and it's gonna continue down to 2.2 here shortly. You know, by the end of the month it'll be 2.2, and they're not foreseeing anything in the south. It's gonna be a real dry southern winter and wetter in the northern tiers. I saw yesterday. And that's going to help our duck population and fill those ponds up there. And hopefully we won't get any giant fronts come through and put too much rain in the Mississippi Valley, because the trout, are, you know, with this full moon, the trout are going to pour into the river down this way here this week. They're already down south. You know, they're in the river. There's nice trout are down by Pasalutra down there. There's some fish in the jump already. So, you know, it's our time of year. It's going to get fun. I love fishing that river, as you know.
Absolutely. So alligator season, is it finally done, and did you fill all the
25th.
Tags?
25th.
Still got some time,
I got,
huh?
I got 6 tags that's got to be filled this week, so I'm going to work on them. I was just talking about that with little Tori. She's got 2 tags, so we're going to go down there and fill hers and go fill my 6 and fill the freezer with gator meat.
Well, so they're still biting. That water temperature hadn't shut down the bite yet, huh?
No. No, they every day they sitting on the bank in that sun with their mouth open saying, "Oh, that feels so good."
Yeah, well, you give them that choice bait too. You give them the classy stuff. You don't take that old rotten smelly chicken. You give them the good stuff.
No, I shoot them in the face. That's what I do.
Yes, indeed.
And it seems to work out.
Yeah.
So we gotta do that. I see a cat stalking my rabbit in the yard. He's been sitting there for about 20 minutes to dead still, so I guess I better go move him, huh?
Yeah.
You don't know it's rabbit season. Oh, he's looking right at it, too, boy. Look, they're facing off. I'm walking right up to him, and neither one of them has moved.
Uh-oh.
Hey, get away.
Oh,
yeah, 2 rabbits. He's still chasing them. Crazy cat.
Yeah, well, he knows what's
good. It's wilderness down here, buddy, I tell you.
Yeah, he knows what's good, that's for sure.
For sure,
well,
buddy.
Go have you a good tour. Educate those engineers. Teach them right, and we'll catch up with
you
again
next week. All right, buddy. I'm going to take care of it.
All right. Give us that phone number before you go.
Sure. They can call me at 504-559-5111. And we still got a few slots open in early November for ducks, and after that, it's pretty much booked.
All right. Make sure you keep your fingers and toes in the boat when you're fooling with them gators.
We'll do, buddy. We'll do.
All right. Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right. Add this come in, Cherie, in regard to our bad boy. What was that one? It said maybe he served his time after the third one and got out. He's 26 years old. After how much time would you get with a third DWI? Maybe he was 6 when he got his first DWI, and then he was 10 when he got the second, and maybe a teenager. Nah, I ain't buying it. No, you're 26 years old, and you got a 4th DWI. Time to throw the key away. All right, we got some more texts. We'll get back to those, and also we're going to get Cherie to tell us about the Pointer Rescue Plan. You're looking for a nice pet or even a new hunting buddy? You want to do some bird hunting? She'll tell you how to do it through the Pointer Rescue Program right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, sure, we got some texts to catch up on. We got Matthew. He's headed to do some bow hunting west of Waco, Texas, kind of way out there west. Good luck to you. Big E and Thibodeau's going to Central to fish with his grandson up at Wadio Pond. That's one of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries catfish-stocked lakes. Good luck to you. Also, we got this one said last week during the gumbo talk, I mentioned Brunnings. His stepmom and her mom worked there, so we ate there often. Yeah, poor me, in parentheses. Yeah, I know what you mean. Brunnings was one of my favorite restaurants before it shut down. Once found a box of frozen breaded onion rings. Used it as bait. The mullet went crazy. Caught around 20 in less than an hour. There you go. Who knew? Breaded onion rings to catch your mullet. Then we got this one in. You mentioned earlier about a Kansas bird hunt soon. Any recommendations? I'm looking at Ekman's Preserve by Lawrence, Kansas, in late November. That's Phil and Thibodeau. All right, you're the Kansas expert.
Yeah, so I was going to say Irish Creek Outfitters near Hutchinson, Kansas. That's more south central. We hunt on private land in north central Kansas around Hayes, but I do have an adopted pointer in St. Joseph, Missouri, which is a little bit northeast of Lawrence. And his handler says they got wild birds all over the place. So I say give Ekman's Preserve a chance and get back to us and let us know how it went.
Yep, for sure. Well, talking about the Pointer Rescue Program, we were talking about that earlier. You're involved with it. How does it work?
So these are dogs that find themselves looking for foster homes, either strays that end up as shelters. There are a lot of hunting outfits that retire dogs, or they're looking for a very specific characteristic of a dog. It's just not meeting what they need, and these places surrender their dogs to the organization. And these dogs find themselves in need of a foster home. So that's what I do, is foster dogs. I have two right now. And as I mentioned earlier, Lady, a registered pointer, phenomenal dog, handler going through some health issues. And so she's with us. And then a dog that found himself in a shelter for over a year and people just not understanding the breed. He took a short time with an adopter for about 4 months and was returned. But, you know, there are lots of other ways in addition to fostering. You can be part of the transport team. Mm-hmm. You can pick up dogs. You've done this before and give them an overnight place until they can get on their transport or get their way to their new foster home. The other thing is I think this is a great program for people who are looking to adopt dogs. Fosters know their dogs very, very well. And so if you're looking for a dog that makes a great companion dog, and these working dogs like hunting breeds actually are wonderful family dogs for an active family. But some of these dogs, man, they want to hunt. And so if you're looking for one, and, you know, we usually, a couple of ours, had one, Jeb, you may remember, mm-hmm. we not only hunted him in the Dakotas and up in Kansas, but he was field trialed and was a junior hunter. And so, you know, we know whether or not these dogs are going to make that. And so it's a good way to understand a lot about the dog that you're going to adopt.
Yeah, it's rewarding when you hear back from the new owners how well the dogs are doing. They're so happy that the dogs are hunting and the dogs are happy. It's just a win-win program. And, of course, the transport, if somebody just wants to participate in that, it's kind of like a relay race. I mean, they go across the country, and you might drive, what, maybe an hour, hour and a half, and you pick up the dog and you bring it to the next place. And before you know it, a dog in Virginia might end up at somebody's place in Texas.
Yeah, it is. And I keep in touch with all my adoptive families. I know how all my dogs are doing. You know, and so it is wonderful. And yeah, you've done the relay race and mm-hmm. kind of crazy, but man, you're part of that team and it's just something that's unbelievable. But if you want to check them out on Facebook, they're Pointer Rescue, Organization or pointerrescue.org if you want to look at them online. And, you know, a lot of times this Gulf Coast, Texas, Louisiana area, we're super short on drivers or people who can go mm-hmm. get dogs. There is a dog in Louisiana, Baton Rouge right now, anchovy, looking for a foster home. And so if you have a room and you have some time that you enjoy spending with dogs, you know, consider. They don't stay with you and it's heartbreaking. But when you take a look at the list of those that are still waiting, you know it's worth it.
Is there any cost to somebody to adopt a dog? What is
the cost for the dogs is a $300 adoption fee. And funny story, I had Jeb at one of the AKC trials, and of course the gentleman didn't know he was a, you know, a rescue dog, and he came up to me and he said, "I understand you're not keeping this dog. You know, I'll give you $800 for this dog." And I said, well, he's already, you know, he's bought and paid for his $300 adoption fee.
PointerRescue.org. Look into it if you have any inclination to either volunteer or if you're in the market to either foster a dog before it gets its final home, or maybe you could become the new owner with a new hunting buddy. Enjoy it, Sheree, as always. Look forward to our next broadcast together sometime around Christmas.
Absolutely.
We'll be up in Kansas. Thank you all for listening and tuning in. We really appreciate your text messages and your listening over the years. Hope you'll join us again next week and each and every week. We do it from 5 to 7 a.m. And a special thanks to Cullen Steele, our producer back at the network, pushing all the right buttons at the right time. We really appreciate him. See you next week on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.